You had to be one of three things when you were at school at my age. You were either an athlete or a rugby player or a netball player. That's all that we had. But this is Brian the athlete. And I remember my coach. My coach was actually our deputy head, Mr. Heinecke. You can imagine Mr. Heinecke originally came from Germany. Mr. Heinecke was precise and clear, and Mr. Heinecke had a cane. Back in the day, this was acceptable practice. Athletics training that I remember was me running around the field with Mr. Heinecke and his cane behind me. I could run fast. He was edging me on, making sure that he got the best out of his young athletes. We were running for our lives. You know, we are called the human race, and I believe we are in a race. The writer of Hebrews says this about the race that we're in. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You saw in the first slide, my topic is finish line faith, what it takes to win. I don't know about you, but at this point in the year, I start to feel a little bit tired. I start to feel as though it's been a long year. It's been a tiring year. Then November comes around and suddenly we've got more things to do than we ever had to do. Suddenly. And then we get to Christmas and we kind of think, we made it. We're going to do things differently next year. And next year, by November, we're going to be in the same place again. But we are called to run the race, and I'm going to be asking you to run the race, even though I know that's where you are. Even though I know that I should rather be doing something like, okay, just breathe, we're nearly there. But I really felt we needed to finish the year strong. Our faith shouldn't be something that wanes as everything else does. It should be something that is consistent or growing at least. And this is no time for us to take a back seat in our faith. So don't stop now. I'm not saying sprint. Mr. Heinecke's not going to come through the back door with a cane. That's not what I'm asking. But I'm just saying, just keep going. There's something almost magical about the new year, about that very 1st and 2nd and 3rd of January. We feel revived and rejuvenated. And I believe that if we are serious about our faith, we can feel ready to go at any point in the year. We don't have to wait for January. We can feel it today. We can know today we're going to make it. We're going to be okay. So that's what I want to call you to finish line faith, faith that really matters. So let's look a little bit at what we read in Hebrews. The writer starts with these words. He says, let us run. Let us run. He's not just at the starting line with a gun setting us off and saying, go. He's not in the stands just waving us along. But the writer is saying, let us, we are together on the track. Christ is with us on the track, and we're all together on that track. Don't be the one that says, oh, I'm going to stop at the next watering point and just wait for the bus to come. You've seen it at Comrades. You just know when people are finished. They stop, and they're not going anywhere. Don't be that person in your faith. Don't stop now. Continue. We're all running the race together. I was busy with a park run, and I found somebody who that I could tuck in behind. I really like that. And this person was not stopping. And I thought, I need to stay with this person. They're going to get me to the end. And right at the end, when we'd finished, I said to this man, I said, oh, thanks so much for keeping the pace and continuing. And he said, no, thank you. Every time I wanted to stop, I just heard you puffing and panting. And I didn't want to stop because, you know, I didn't want you to overtake me. I'm like, okay. So we're in this race. We're in this race together. And there might be somebody who's just taking your pace or somebody's just in front of you, but we're running the race together. It's a team effort. It's not an individual thing. People that say, I'm a Christian, I don't have to go to church. I'm just going to say one word, okay? Rubbish. We need to be part of a faith community to grow and excel. You can be a Christian all on your own, sure. But you really, you thrive and you grow and you mature when you're with a community. The writer then says, he adds this, let us run with perseverance. And this is what I'm talking about. This is the November call. Okay, guys, run with perseverance. Don't give up on the race. It's not a casual jog. It's not a sprint. We're in a marathon that we just got to keep going. We know it's a long way. For some of us, it's further than others. But just keep at the race. There's moments when we experience obstacles. We experience challenges. There's moments when we want to quit. And for some people, this year has been incredibly difficult. Many people have faced some very serious challenges in life and have wanted to quit, but have not. James put it like this in James 1, 2, and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance is a beautiful gift. It's something that will reap rewards, not just when you kind of get over the hump, but into your future. That's what we're learning here. Trials will come, but we can face them and we can win. I love the story about Jim Thorpe. He was an American athlete, and in 1912, he was in the Olympics. And Jim Thorpe, the morning of his big event, found that his running shoes had been stolen. So he goes to a trash can and finds two running shoes. Remarkably, you can see he's got different colored socks because the one shoe was actually bigger than the other. So on his one foot, he had more socks than the other foot just so that this shoe would work. He won two gold medals with those rubbish bin shoes. He could have just said, yeah, well, that's the end of my race. But he didn't. He said, this is it. I'm going to make what I can. Yeah, let me find shoes. Let me see what I can do. And he finished the race. And he didn't just finish the race. Two gold medals, for goodness sake. Classic picture of perseverance. We could quit, but we shouldn't. We mustn't. Just, yeah, come on. Pull something out. Put on an extra pair of socks. But run the race. Run the race. Persevere. Reach the end. We're nearly at the end of this year. Then it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What a beautiful verse. The cloud of witnesses, we read about them all through the Bible. There are people with examples that are incredible when it comes to perseverance, comes to following Christ, following God. There's incredible examples. Then we know of people that we've heard about in history, that we want to emulate their incredible faith journey. And then there's people that we know personally in our own lives. When asked the question, what are the three most memorable moments in a person's life, often people battle a little bit with that. But asked, who are the three most memorable or most influential people in your life, people remember that. Incredibly, there's people in our lives that we do stand on their shoulders when it comes to faith. There is this cloud of witnesses, and they cheer us on. If you're feeling despondent, find one of these great clouded people. Clouds are gray, so anyway, that's going to get me into trouble. Stay focused. But yeah, there's some folk that you want to gather around because of their wisdom and age and journey in life, because they encourage us. Many people sitting here have been through something we can't even imagine, and they can speak life into our lives. It's going to be okay. You can make it. You can overcome. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us then, the author includes himself in this. It's not like let you, let us. Let us throw everything off. We sang the song, I Am Yours. That's the most important place where we need to start in this journey. That needs to be the words on our lips. We need to be able to say that with confidence. We can't say that if we think it's the faith of our parents. It has to be our faith. It has to be a faith journey that we're on, that we've initiated ourselves. God doesn't have grandchildren. He's only got children. You have to be a child of God. You can't be a Christian because of something your dad did or your mom did. Might be drawn into the kingdom because of their journey and their faith, but we personally have to make the commitment. At points in our lives, every one of us is walking away from Christ, walking away from the cross. We're with the world. We're not people of faith. And then at a point, God works in our lives, and he says, no more. Come, follow me. And we do a 180. The word repent is to turn 180 from what I was to where I need to be going. And he says, repent and follow me. And as we do that, all the rubbish that we were walking with is now bumping into us. And so when it says, throw off everything that hinders, some of it is just the stuff that we used to find normal and natural that now is just junk in God's sight. So you've got to personally say, Lord, I repent. I want to turn and follow you. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life for the rest of my life. If you've never done that, maybe this is the moment that God's saying it to you this morning. Maybe God's saying you need to make that moment in your life happen this morning. Nobody else can do it for you. And God tells us, he calls us. I know the moment God spoke to me, it wasn't airy-fairy maybe. It was so clear. Biggest hindrance today for Christians, lack of time. We don't have time to read God's word. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to rest in his presence. There's the problem of sin. Sin is subtle. It's persistent, entangling, relentless. We need to throw off everything that entangles. Paul warns us in Galatians. He says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion, listen carefully, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Who cut in on you? All is not lost. There is huge hope. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And then the writer says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You've seen those runners running the race, and they keep looking back. And every time they look back to see where the next person is, they lose a little bit of their stride. They get distracted. Some even fall. Not me, but just saying. But I always joke when I'm park running. I mean, we're like 600 people or something. I'm not going to come first. I know that. It's just not going to happen. Andrew's there. He's normally the one that is like a crazy child. But I always joke with the people that I'm around, you know, when somebody overtakes me, I say, oh, first position. And then when I overtake them, I'm like, oh, now you're second. But who do we fix our eyes on? That person that was pacing me, that's who I was in that race, I was fixing my eyes on. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the one that is our lamp and our light. He's the one that knows the journey. He's marked it out for us. If we look to him, we will not look back and stumble and fall, and we'll know where to go. We'll know what the right way is to run, where the race is that he's marked out for us. God has got a course marked out for us. We don't just randomly run. We don't just, you know, hear the gun and then like three people make off up the stands. One goes this way and one goes towards the finish line. No. He knows where we're going. He's got a course marked out for us. And don't compare your course with someone else's. Don't think, well, they're doing that. Is that what I should do? No, what is God calling you to? What race are you on? Run your race with perseverance. Throw off what hinders you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep running. I know that there's some animal lovers here. Oh, where's Herky? Oh, there he is. There's Herky. So I thought I'd include a dog story this morning. Imagine training for a 21-kilometer run and then being beaten by a dog. So there's this race that happens in Canada. The owner of this bloodhound, Ludovine is the name of the dog, let the dog out for a wee. The dog saw all these people gathered. Clearly it was very intrigued, and darted out of the yard. And the owner, she couldn't catch the dog. And the dog finished the race, stopped to play with a dead rabbit and to say hello to some cows along the way, and finished in seventh position, got a medal. And I can just picture this dog just seeing all these people and going, what's happening here? I want to be a part of this fun. And boom, 21 kilometers later, they find the dog. That dog, yeah, joined in the race, ran the race, loved the race. Let me encourage you. Don't step out of your yard if there's a marathon. No. Let me encourage you that the race that is marked out for us is an exciting, excellent, fun, great race. Sure, there's challenges along the way, but I've been running this race for a very long time, and it's a good race. It's a fulfilling race, knowing that God is my Father, knowing that He knows where I'm going, know that He's cheering me on, He's setting me off, He's running with me, He's ahead of me, He's behind me, He's around me, He's with me. Wow. We get to be a part of that race. And that's fantastic. That's huge. So be like that dog. Just like, we're going this way. I can't wait. And you will get a medal. We get a crown. Heaven is where we're headed. That's our final destination. And we will have the crown of glory one day as we finish this race. Let us run with finish line faith.